and we should be recording right now. So I want to welcome you. I'm Kathy Kirk. I'm the founder of Applied Spirituality, and I'm so very happy you've made a good choice just for you to be here for our group coaching sessions. So welcome to the Applied Spirituality Life Transformation Coaching Calls. First, some general housekeeping to begin with. Let me just let you listen to music for just a second, and I'll be right back with you. I'm learning all this technical stuff as we go. Be right back. Okay, we're back. Thank you for bearing with me on this. So let's stop the music now and get to work. I think we'll just start off tonight, since this is our first call, with some general housekeeping. These calls, coaching calls, are ongoing every Sunday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Each call will be recorded in MP3 file format and available for you to download on the following day. The second item is on the website at www.appliedspirituality.com. You'll see a coaching tab. Under that is another tab for the coaching forum. And this is a private forum just for you. The password to access the forum is the word coaching, C-O-A-C-H-I-N-G. Here you can submit your questions to me, and I'll be answering them on the call on Sunday evening. Or you can submit a question via email through the website at coach@appliedspirituality.com. So those two ways are the ways that you can reach me, and those will be the ways that I'll be able to communicate with you. I'll be responding to your queries, your situations, your coaching questions on the call live. I will not be responding with an answer in a private email to you, because that would actually defeat the purpose of everyone having benefit of listening to your question and hearing my response. There's a great benefit in having others' situations in front of you and listening to the answers, because oftentimes as humanoids, we get it in one context, but we don't get it in another. And the more we hear where everybody is and we begin to feel where their vibration is and where their perhaps stuck spot is, the more we get adept at identifying our own. And that's the whole point here. So that's why we do group coaching. And I honestly think sometimes that group coaching is much more beneficial than private coaching, although they each have their place. Okay, number three. There's a few rules that we will all observe here so that this atmosphere feels safe and supportive for everyone. It's my vision that we are a community and even maybe a congregation, so to speak, where we come to be nourished, fed, uplifted, and supported whenever we, wherever we are in our lives. So the very first rule is confidentiality. So what you hear here stays here. Now, obviously, you can refer to something that you've been learning or you're working on and in a situation that you hear, but you will refer to anybody as a participant or a colleague or some guy or some lady or some girl or a person. So you just keep everybody anonymous here. Number two, for your own peace of mind, you can choose to use a username or a pseudonym. That's entirely up to you. You don't have to. But bear in mind, one of the objects of a life transformation is to begin living a life in well-being and living a more transparent and authentic life. So eventually, as I use my real name everywhere I go and could be possibly one of the last two people listed in the phone book, I use my real name. So it is entirely up to you, and we do have a confidentiality rule in place. So choose as it feels correct to you. So you may want to start out with something that's a pseudonym and move yourself to your real name. It's entirely up to you, but choose according, of course, how you feel. And don't do it unless you're 100% comfortable with it. Number three, please listen quietly and in mute mode. Right now I have the conference in question-answer mode, which means all the participants are muted out, and you will only be able to be heard if you press *6 on your keypad. If I ever move into, like, audience mode where everybody's able to be heard, you know, use your *6 thing to keep yourself muted out, or use the mute function on your phone so that we can make really crisp, clean recordings for everyone to hear later. So that's really important. And get yourself into a quiet space, you know, a quiet place where you can hear, so the dog's not barking and the TV's not on and whatever else, you know. This is your time. So treat it like you would treat church, let's say. Number four, there is no subject that is off limits. But please give us just enough background of your situation so that we can feel just where you are. Keep it short and concise as possible. We definitely don't want to hammer what is or what has been, because our objective, of course, is to move forward and upward. But we do have to get sort of a sense of a set point and a starting place and know exactly where you are, and sometimes perhaps help you figure out exactly where you are. So, okay, that's it for the rules of engagement. The format. So what is this? What are these coaching calls? Well, I've chosen Sunday evenings purposefully as our meeting time, because Sundays have always been traditionally our quote-unquote day of rest, and perhaps a day when we have maybe gone to church or some type of worship in order to pause ourselves from our usual lives and renew and restore ourselves. So it's purposeful. Many people don't go to church anymore, so there's no time where they consciously choose to reflect and renew and think about where they want to be and where they're going in a community setting. So things are really shifting and changing right now. Memberships in churches are going down, but that doesn't mean that people aren't looking for community. And that's what I think is emerging, is a new sense of community, and it's a community arranged by vibrational consciousness, and we can be all over the world in a community, and that's kind of cool, I think. So if you're here, you are actively engaged in reaching for more in your life, actively pursuing your own life transformation, actively learning the principles and process of self-mastery. So I personally want to congratulate you, and I want you to congratulate yourself and really deeply appreciate yourself you're in like the one half of 1% of people on the planet who are consciously and actively and purposefully taking up this business of self-transformation to learn how it is you are the deliberate creator of your life, to awaken from the mesmerization of ego and human mind, and really enjoy your adventure here on Earth. So well done, and we're going to just do this one step at a time and one moment at a time together. In order to progress and become the master and genius at your life and the focus of your source energy, like anything else you've ever had to learn, it takes practice, it takes focus, and it helps in a community of people who are doing the same things and have the same intention and the same value. So that is really what a community is, if you think about it. It's just everything's getting sort of reshuffled right now. So congratulations and welcome to this community. So purpose number two is to keep us intentionally focused on applying what we are learning. We're learning a new set of responses to our emotions. We're learning what our emotions mean. And we're learning a new set of responses to our life experiences that empower us to be the deliberate creators of our lives. When you go back to work on Monday, it will help you to have a weekly focus and a fresh platform that you set up on Sunday night to sort of be the direction you're headed this week. This is what we're going to do. This is the puppy back on the paper, as you'll hear me say over and over again. What was my intention for the week? And you'll remember, and then you go, okay, in this context of my boss or my daughter or my car or my health or my finances, this is my brand new context. This is where I want to be looking for a new sense of well-being and a way to respond to life from here, not from the old habituated place. Okay, so that leads me to the format. Each Sunday, I will begin at 6 promptly. I'll be here. And for about the first 5 minutes, maybe 10 or so, I'll take a list of people on the call that have a question. And then I'll leave the line, and I'll come back. I'll leave the line to set up the recording, and then I'll come back, and we'll get started. So if you want to be heard and you want to ask a question, you need to be here promptly at 6 and make your presence known. And I'll take your name and where you're from. And then you will mute yourself back out. And then when I get to that portion of the call, I'll take you in the order that I got you in the beginning of the call. This is going to go on until we use a different conference system, but for now, this is the system we're going to use. And then after that, when I come back on the line and the recording is started, for maybe the next 20 to 25 minutes, I'll begin with a focus, a topic, a principle, a subject matter, a focus for Sunday night. After that, I'll take your questions, and I will also answer questions both from the forum where you have perhaps submitted your question online and also from the emails, which is another place that you can submit your questions. And each week I'll do my very best to get through every question on the call. So the ones that are on the forum I'll read out loud to the call. And the ones that are on email, I'll read out loud to the call, and then I will answer on the call. This is so that everyone gets benefit of the group coaching. So even if you can't be here live on the call, you can submit a question online and or by email, and I can answer it without your being present, and you can listen to the answer on the recording the next day. I think that covers the basics. Please understand that this group coaching is ongoing, and it's going to continue to expand and change over time. This is something new. It's new to all of us. And so with the technology that's available, all the different options, we're going to be changing this as it goes along. The only thing that's going to be consistent is that I'll be here every Sunday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I will be answering every call that I get, either live or by email or the forum. And I do have future plans already in the making, a private members website. It'll be interactive where you can all talk to each other as well, but that's down the road. And one more thing of housekeeping that I want you to remember is everyone in your household is welcome to listen in. So whatever for the monthly fee that you pay, everyone in your household is welcome to participate. And I guess one more thing, too, is just to remind you that if you bring two friends in and they've paid, you get your month coaching for free. So there we go. That's it. So beginning tonight's topic, we're going to start at the beginning. Since applied spirituality is all about everyday life, living it more effectively and enthusiastically, confidently, as a deliberate creator, I think it's appropriate to start with the basic steps of creating and manifesting anything, even the bad stuff or what you would consider the bad stuff. There are many, many universal laws. The main one that we are most going to focus on right now, until everybody's sort of getting fairly proficient with it and practice using every day, is the law of attraction. The law of attraction was probably made famous or infamous, however you might be looking at it, with the publication of the movie The Secret. But the law of attraction is nothing new. It's been around since the beginning of time, actually. It's been referred to in every ancient book there is, including the Bible and the Quran and the Talmud and the I Ching, and Jesus talked about it, and so it's nothing new. But we have to bear in mind that in those days they didn't have science or physics in which to talk about any of this, so they talked about it in the ways that the population and the consciousness could identify with at the time. But basically speaking, the law of attraction simply states that like attracts like. So on a practical level, you already intuitively know that as birds of a feather flock together. You can see it actively practiced by people joining groups. Republicans join people who think like Republicans, and liberals join groups that think like Democrats, and people who don't like to be nailed into a box join groups that are called independents, and so on and so forth. And this reflects the law of attraction managing vibration. So that brings us to the topic of vibration. Everything in this physical world is vibrational first, and then a physical manifestation second. There are no exceptions ever. So basically, we are all learning to think in terms of vibration. Vibration, vibration, vibration. So that might be the first reminder that you want to focus on this week, is that no matter what you're talking about or involved with, think in terms of vibration and the law of attraction. Okay. So whether you think you're a saint and someone else is a sinner, both of you, all of us, are vibrational beings creating our lives and encounters and situations and manifestations by what we vibrationally send out there, like telegraph out there. So how do we do that? We are a conglomeration of infinite number of vibrations on many topics. So you have a topic about money, and you've got a topic about relationships, and you've got a topic about God, and you, every single thing you have a vibrational set point on. And then when you mix all these up and put them all together like in a goulash of you, you have what I call a vibrational countenance, which is your unique universal vibrational signature. It's uniquely you. So this is why attitude is everything. So what your attitude is on any given topic, or your general mood, or your general vibrational countenance, is basically what the law of attraction, which is the manager of everything, is going to be reflecting back to you in your daily circumstances. So having said that, we all start where we are, and there's nothing that you cannot be or do or have or transform once you get the hang of how this is done and you don't ever look back. In other words, once you're starting to shift yourself on a topic and move yourself to a different belief, you don't want to go back, and you usually don't. It's very painful to go back, and you don't really want to. So where are we tonight? I have one question here that came to me over the email just recently, and this is from Nadia in Quebec. And I'll just read to you what she's written. She says, I have repeatedly asked my sisters for time with them. This has gone on over a period of 20 years. I want a great relationship with them. I want to feel like we're sisters. I want comradeship and companionship and intimacy with them. I've asked them to make coffee dates with me so that we can begin to build this, and they don't show up. My feelings are hurt. I feel unloved. I feel like I don't belong. If law of attraction is matching my vibrations, what's going on here? All I know is it hurts terribly. How do I have the relationship I want with my sisters? Okay, Nadia, thank you so much for your question. One of the hardest things for us to accept, yet the most valuable thing that the law of attraction gives us, is this mirror, mirror on the wall reflection. So, in other words, if you want to know how well you're doing, then really all you have to do is look at what's presenting in front of you. So I guess this is a good place to begin, because I know there's everybody's listening and they're evaluating where they are. So we'll stay with Nadia's question, and everybody else, I would just encourage you to sort of filter this through the lens of your own questions about your own life. So none of us would be here if we were happy and contented with what is. We are always reaching for more, and we want a different situation. So, Nadia, I do understand this one intimately. It is a heartbreak when we assume that our sisters, the people that we are born with in our into our family and we're raised with, that we want to have close and intimate relationships with them, and they don't seem to like be on that frequency. And but to keep this focused on you, because the most important thing for us to remember is that as we shift, everything external to us then shifts by the law of attraction. So we don't want to get too specific. In other words, your desire to have a relationship with your sisters, you are focusing on the door marked Sister A and Sister B specifically. But you could have a relationship with sisters if you weren't that specific. The universe is ready to deliver that to you. So the first thing I want to say to you is you are banging your head against one door when there are infinite doors ready to yield to you what it is your heart desires, if you would just line up with it. The second thing I want to say is that it is a mirror for you, in that what I see here, or what I hear here, and I feel, you have said by your own words, I feel unloved, and I don't feel like I belong. You don't feel heard. You don't feel listened to. Well, I would suggest that this is the mirror of you not being present for yourself. There is your inner being. There is your God self that is calling you home. It's calling you to listen. There are parts of your psyche and of your personality that have been tugging at your leg, so to speak, and want to be heard. You ever seen a mother in a grocery store who she's busy grocery shopping and she's got a toddler who's chasing after her, and he's whining and he's pulling at her pant leg, and he just keeps escalating the noise, and everybody else is hearing her kid screaming at her for her attention, but she doesn't hear him. Well, that to me is sort of the metaphor that I'm trying to show you about some part of yourself that is screaming for your attention and needs to be heard. This happens most frequently when we set about reaching for more. We want more health, we want more love, we want more fun, we want something more. So we are reaching for our expansion. We have long since desired this, but we're trying to take our expansion. This part of our psyche has never been updated. So this little guy is some part of your personality, some part of your belief system that is still stuck in the past, and it can't move forward until you update it, until you bring it forward and into the now, so that it will expand. It will expand with you. This is that part of you that is blocking your good. So how do you have the relationship you want with them? You do the inner work. So you look for places, number one, where there is a sister relationship available to you, where somebody is available for intimacy and friendship and companionship and camaraderie. You pay attention and you notice when these things show up, and you go, oh, there it is, because I'm certain it's there. You're just not looking at it because you're looking at the door you expect it to come from. And then you would go back and in some quiet time, you know, sit quietly. You could take a journal. You can sit quietly with yourself and ask yourself, what part of you wants to talk? What part of you needs updated? Because all these parts are you, and you created them. They hold these beliefs, and they will just keep running that same old belief tape until you update it or erase it and give it a new view of things. So this is where it's kind of valuable. I don't suggest you go dig around, but just, you know, sit with your journal, write a question, and ask for the information. And then if something starts to come to you, write it down. And then you can mentor it as an adult, and you can update that. So those are the two things I would give you to begin with right now. So that would be my answer to your question. And work on that for a little bit and then come back for an update, and we'll move forward from there. Since this is our first time here, I want to talk more about how we're changing how we think and how we feel. A transformation is about changing how you see the world. It's looking through new eyes with a new view of things. My most frequent prayer is, give me a new view. Show me a new way of looking at a higher perspective. When we're habituated, and, you know, every single one of us has come to the planet awake and aware and knowing that we are connected to an internal guidance system. We all came in here knowing that we were eager, that we were on the farthest outpost of consciousness, the cutting edge, the bleeding edge, if you will, of consciousness, and that from this leading edge, we would be expanding consciousness itself by virtue of the contrast here. And the contrast, by that I mean the things that don't feel good to us. So you have this inborn inner guidance system. And one of the things we're going to start to learn is how to use this internal guidance system. The key component of your internal guidance system is your emotions and what they mean. So let me begin by saying that you have to be willing to feel what you are feeling. And that's, you know, part of the awakening that goes on is when you are no longer willing to numb yourself, but you want to listen to this these feelings that are nagging at you, pulling at you, these inner children that are pulling at your pant leg and nagging at you. And we use everything possible so that we don't have to listen or hear that. And I truly think that in Western culture, in 21st century, we just really don't know what to do with our emotions. We just feel yanked around by them. We don't know what they mean, and so we attempt to manage them, and most of us have tried to manage them by, like, just masking them over. If we just don't feel that's the way to get through. So we live in our head. The trouble with that is that we are connected to source energy by our emotions, and that's how we know how well we are in sync, in alignment with source energy, our God self, or we are not. And as you all got the emotional range diagram, and you got a set of processes, as we move onward and forward with working with these emotions, we're going to become emotionally intelligent. And there's many books out there about emotional intelligence, but I don't necessarily think you need to hit the books. I think you just need to be willing to sort of feel them and watch them as they flow through you and take the information and then make a new choice. So what does it mean? Okay, when we come in, we have two vibrations moving through us. 96% of us is source energy and non-physical energy, and it stays in pure, fast, high frequency of well-being all the time. It will not move, thank goodness. It stays fixed in well-being. Then the other frequency, the other vibration you have, is your human mind. It's called by many names, ego, psyche, whatever. I like to call it human mind because it doesn't have quite such a bad misnomer as ego does. Ego is essential. We have to have an ego to get along on the planet. It's a part of our personality. It's not to be erased. It's the part of us that contains the human beliefs that are either not aligned or are aligned with source energy. So I wouldn't say that we need to become egoless people. And a lot of spiritual practice out there would state that, and I would take exception to that. I think we are either aligned in our human mind or misaligned in our human mind with our God self. So moving from there, beliefs then are just sort of things that we can change. It's just a habit of belief. It's the way we've thought about something. It's a pattern of thought. And all those things are changeable by our decision to change them. So here you are, a humanoid walking around on planet Earth, and you have two vibrations. You have your source vibration, which is in perfect well-being. It knows who you are. It loves and adores you. And every time you desire something, it takes that expansion and it is enjoying that desire immediately. It just rides it out to its conclusion and it's enjoying it right now. So in everyone's process of creation, there's the asking, and that happens quite naturally on planet Earth. Every time you observe or see or experience something that isn't to your liking, no matter how mild, you automatically send out, whether it's conscious or not, a request for the opposite. That's just automatic. It's the way the universe is wired up and you're wired into it. And that's why this process of life transformation is natural and simple. You'll notice I don't say it's easy, but it is natural and simple. And with just a few tweaks, it can become pretty comfortable rather than discomfort. So there's number one is the asking. And like I said, that goes on automatically. So when you're being treated with disrespect, you've sent out a desire to be treated with respect and valued. When you experience a shortage of money, you send out automatically a desire for abundance. And the universe, your God self, your inner being automatically expands to fulfill that. So that's step two. The universe automatically responds and fulfills that request. So it's really important for you to get it that everything you've ever desired, consciously or subconsciously, because everyone is selfishly reaching for their good, and that's a good thing, is sort of out there for you. And the only part that isn't lined up with it is you. So that leads us to step three, which is aligning you, getting your human mind in alignment with your expansion, with what is desired, with what already is in vibrational format, but you haven't yet experienced in manifestation because you haven't lined up with it. Now, I think I'll just say right here that that is the essence of a miracle. Somebody has a desire, the universe answered, and they believed it right away that this was possible, and it happened. So where we're heading on planet Earth is that miracles are normal. They are not paranormal or extra normal or extraordinary or unbelievable. That this is where we're going once we all begin to realize how we create and how we get what we want. So once again, the three steps to creation are the asking, which is done automatically, and it can be done consciously, but believe me, it's not done by your words. It's done more by your vibration. Everything is vibration, remember. And number two, the answering, which is done automatically by the universe, and that is going to be answered one of these days, either in particle physics or quantum physics in some way, but for now, we call it the law of attraction. And number three is this is where we can work, where we can focus, and we can become more practiced and adept at allowing our good in. the fundamental premise of everything here that we're doing in this applied spirituality coaching is that the universe is benevolent, it has your back, it is only a stream of well-being and goodness and fulfillment. And the only thing keeping that apart from our life experience here on Earth is our alignment of our human mind with the 96% of us that is non-physical well-being itself. So, what is this 96% of us that is non-physical well-being? This is infinite intelligence. This is source energy itself. This is wisdom. This is health. This is abundance. This is joy. This is the fulfillment of everything that we consider good. So interchangeably throughout our time together, every time you hear me say good, you can automatically substitute the word God, because those are interchangeable words. Now, let's get back to our inner guidance system. Since the bulk of you is source energy, you are naturally vibrating and want to be in the vicinity of good. And that's why it feels good. And like the law of attraction, when good things happen, truth happens, beauty happens, goodness happens, kindness happens, joy happens. That's why we respond so enthusiastically and jubilantly and joyously and delightedly, because the core of us is recognizing the good outside of us. It's like two lovers meeting in a crowded airport. They are magnetically attracted and they run to each other and recognize each other, because it is like attracting like, good attracting good, good love attracting love. And you'll hear me use these words all interchangeably: love, truth, beauty, goodness, wisdom, joy. I mean, all those to me are synonymous with well-being, God, source energy, and I don't really care what you call it, Mickey Mouse. This is our natural state. This is at core who we truly are. So when our human mind, the mind of Jane Doe or John Doe, is not aligned with physical well-being, when it is not aligned with the vibration of goodness, with what is desired, with our idea of joy, with what is really the fulfillment of good, we feel a gap. And that gap is our negative emotion. So this negative emotion no longer means he made me mad, he was rude to me. What it means, what it tells you immediately, is that what your human mind is thinking, your God mind has not joined you in that thought. It will not join you in that. So if I go back to Nadia's question, and she's saying, I feel like I don't belong, I feel unloved, and it hurts. That pain tells her that her belief that she doesn't belong and that she is unloved is not true. So that's a pretty interesting response to, in a difference in a way that we would respond. So normally humanoids would respond with what's wrong with them, they're rude, what did I do to make me be unlovable, I am unlovable. All of those things are not true. And so where does Nadia begin to do the work is she gets to say, okay, wait a minute. If I'm thinking, if I believe I'm unloved and I believe I am, I don't belong, and if I believe that there's something wrong with me, and those thoughts make me hurt, then I know that my God self hasn't joined me in that thought. And therefore, I know that that thought is patently not true. So it's a whole different way of responding to life. So first of all, bless you, Nadia. You get it, that this is all about you, that it is your misperception. But from here, you can see that you can do things very differently. You can go back to your notebook and begin to counsel that part of you that has taken her cue from the outside world, thinking that if somebody is mean to me or somebody doesn't want to join me in fun or joy or a coffee date, that I'm unlovable. Well, that's not true. And if you follow that further, with there is a part of you, that 96%, that source energy of you that's beckoning you to come join it, to feel the love that it has for you, that's where you go to find the love that you are expecting and that you deserve within. Once you start to be able to realize that you can stay connected to your source of love, no matter what's going on outside of you, this is when it really gets good on planet Earth, because it doesn't really matter what's going on outside of you. You have now become an unconditional lover. It doesn't mean you're not going to walk around and see things that you don't like and immediately send out a request for something opposite of that. That's built into your system. But you only need to be participating in the contrast long enough to issue that rocket and then refocus yourself on what is wanted, what is desired, what feels good. So, how would we do that? How would Nadia do that if she were going to be wanting to feel good and feel loved and feel her source energy? Well, the universe, when it's responding to you, really doesn't care whether you are literally looking at it, actually listening to it, or you are remembering something from the past that felt really good, or you're projecting something into the future, in which case you are literally reaching to connect with your Godship that is right now living the fulfillment of what you want. So, in Nadia's case, she's desiring a beautiful relationship with her siblings, her birth siblings. So, there is nothing to stop you, Nadia, from sitting in your easy chair with some nice music on and creating a fantasy in your mind about a coffee date with your sisters where you all are sharing like little magpies and everybody's enjoying each other and you're having lovely experiences and everyone's happy and involved and eager. They ask you who you are. They ask you about your life. They're interested. They can't wait to see you. They hug you. They kiss you. You can literally go there right now and create that in vibration. And as you do that, you actually begin to feel how good that feels, how much different that feels than focusing your thoughts on what isn't. So that's where you get to shift the focus. And this brings us to our ace in the hole, the thing that we all have, that no matter what goes on, we have the ace card, the Joker card. We have free will. Years ago, there was a man named Viktor Frankl, and he wrote a really magnificent book called Man's Search for Meaning. And the reason this book is so important is because Viktor Frankl figured it out that nobody could ever control him, ever, no matter what, because they could never control his mind, that he alone was the chooser, the decider, the decision maker of what he was going to think and believe. And he also knew and figured out that whatever he thought was how he felt. So what makes this really impactful is that Viktor Frankl did this and realized this in a German concentration camp during World War II. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't think of a worse place of what is. Anywhere he might focus his attention would be a painful thing to look at. The sounds that he would hear, the sights that he was seeing, the way that his physical body was feeling. I'm sure he didn't. He was in such a place of lack in what is that powerful, powerful desires for just the opposite were flowing out, not just from his conscious mind, but his subconscious mind, as well as from every cell of his body. But what he is really unique in that he was watching this and he was noticing, and he so much wanted relief from this pain that he sought ways to relieve that pain. So he took himself in his mind to other places. He remembered Mozart or Bach being played in a concert hall, or he recited a book of wisdom, or he remembered a time from childhood when he was having fun, or moments of love with others, or he took himself to a future place that was beautiful and productive, and or maybe he was creating a new invention. Who knows where he took himself? But in these mental travels, he actually relieved himself, which was his point of attraction, which was the now. And that brings us to another point that is really important for you to understand. Why it's so important that you feel good and you don't spend any longer than you need to in your discomfort. Because your powerful point of attraction is right now. So if you're spending your powerful moment of attraction focused on lack, and in Nadia's case, if she's yammering and beating the drum of they don't love me, I'm not lovable, this feels bad, I'm sick at my stomach, oh, what have I done wrong? And she's in that spiral downward, downward. Not only does the law of attraction come in and match you with more negative thoughts to think about, it gets bigger, it gets worse, and not just on this one topic. It will cross all the topics of your life. So it's really important that you feel the feeling. This feels awful. I don't feel good. I feel unloved. I feel unlovable. I feel unwanted. Okay, this feels terrible. And what does this feeling tell me? It's telling me that what my human mind is focused on and what it's believing is absolutely untrue, and my God self has not joined me in this, so therefore, I am loved, I am lovable, I do belong, and now we start looking for things that feel good. And as long as 17 seconds, if we can hold one good thought, another one will come to join it. And then another 17 seconds and more good thoughts come to join that. And so we begin the process of changing how we feel in the moment. Now, in real life practice, we have other things that we can do and other behaviors that we're going to learn along the way. For example, you might be watching the evening news. You know, maybe somebody in your household is a TV news junkie, and they have to listen to something that you don't feel good listening to. So most humanoids will stand and have an argument about turn that, or they're going to change, they're going to have an argument about who's in control of the remote control or what we're going to watch on TV tonight. But in our practice, in applied spirituality, we have infinite choices on how to change our own channel, that nobody else has to do anything differently in order for us to feel good, that because we're the master of our fate and we are the captain of our soul. So in a scenario like that, where there's a news channel on that we don't want to, we can leave the room. We can put a headset on. We can go for a walk. We can do a meditation. We can ask for the channel to be changed. We can do infinite number of things, but we don't have to keep listening. We can change the channel. We can do something else. We have infinite choices. We are the creator of our own experience. Okay. That is for tonight. Everything that I have no other questions. I've answered everything that there is, and I look forward to seeing all of you back here next Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget, please, that you can submit your questions to the forum at www.appliedspirituality.com. You'll find it under the coaching tab, under the coaching forum. And you can submit your questions to me via the email address of coach@appliedspirituality.com. Thank you all for coming. And remember now, this week we're going to be focusing on remembering that everything's about vibration, the three steps to creation, and the only one is about you allowing it to come in, and you do that by feeling good, and you do that by remembering that you have to get your human mind in the vicinity of God, which always feels good. So we're going to do that step by step. We're going to pay attention to the voices that are going on inside of us, and remember that this is a universe based in well-being. And you are mostly 96% source energy, well-being itself. Thanks for joining me. Have a really great week. I look forward to talking to you next week. Bye now.